Welcome to the 10K a Day Dentist, the podcast that breaks the speed limit called average. This is a fast lane where dentists go to get there quickly. Now here's your host, the 10K a Day Dentist, Dr. Bill Williams.
Hey, it's Dr. Bill Williams of the 10K Way Dental Podcast. Welcome. It's a great day in Georgia, and I have got an exciting guest tonight. This is Jill Reff, and I guess you're in Austin, Texas, right, Jill?
I am.
So I love Texans, and I love working with people that I've met. I met Jill at the New Media Summit, and she is a dynamic customer service expert. She's a major player in the customer experience game. What I know about Jill is that she speaks well from the stage because I heard her. I know that she's an author. She wrote a book called The 7-Ingredient Customer Experience Transformation Process, and that she has made a difference for a lot of companies, a lot of industries in the customer service realm. And so I thought, this is a perfect person for me to bring to my podcast group, my dentist, and a few others that hang on with us, because customer service is what dentistry is all about. And we want to integrate some of her concepts into our business. So Jill, welcome to the 10K Way.
Thank you so much. Great to be with you. Thank you.
Now tell us a little bit more about your background.
Sure. I actually grew up in a business where customers were first. It was very important. I grew up in McDonald's franchise.
Big Macs.
And my parents actually opened McDonald's number. Yeah, they opened McDonald's number 150 long before they were Big Macs. And I really grew up with the concept that the customer is always right. That was Ray Kroc's philosophy, you know, and QSC&V, quality, service, cleanliness, and value. And I answered the phones starting out when I was too little to do anything else. And I really worked my way around the stations. I counted, you know, inventory. I did every aspect. I would hear and I would see how my dad interacted not only with the customers when he was up front, but with his people, with the employees. And it really, I think, without knowing, now looking back, of course, gave me such a strong foundation for understanding that. And I've had multiple careers in different industries and worked across multiple countries. And the bottom line was always that common denominator was always customer experience, the customer service, putting your people first. And that's really what led me to that and what I'm most excited about. I truly am obsessed with great customer experience.
I know you came through the food industry and you've been a famous chef. You've been a food strategist, stylist. What is it called?
Yeah, so I have chef's training, but I wouldn't say I'm a famous chef. I have done some stages. A stage in the industry means like a internship type thing, but I have had the pleasure of working at some very top kitchens, Harrod's Pastry Kitchen and a one-star Michelin in Italy and some others. But I went to Le Cordon Bleu in Paris, and I used my French cuisine and pâtisserie, the pastry training, towards food styling. So in Manhattan, I was a food stylist, and I did work with everything from cookbooks, magazines. I had the cover of Food and Wine magazine, and TV shows, It Packaging, Godiva, any sort of print ad I did. And so that's how I used mine. So that was a food stylist.
Sounds like you've got gravitas. You've got a background in customer service and showing up well.
You know what? It's what lights me up. And I think it's a way that I can get my creative juices into something that's not only fun and beautiful, the presentation's really important, but the delivery, something concrete for business that will make a difference and make your business thrive, that will actually make you profitable. That's where I love it. When I saw the intersection between great customer experience and business, it's like the two parts of me came together, and that's what really lit me up and said, this is what I have to do, because I can help so many other businesses increase their revenue, their ratings, repeat customers, and retention through understanding the steps of prioritizing your people. And that means your employees, your vendors, anyone who touches your business, as well as your end customer.
I like that you're a CX expert, because you don't find too many of those around, and you're pioneering that area.
I hope so, because the goal is as it is in your business and how you know, there are a lot of dentists out there. So it's the really comparable to dentists, and how do they distinguish themselves? How do you step out and make yourself different? And so as I call myself a customer experience strategist, So as a customer experience strategist, there are other coaches and consultants out there, but I feel like they talk about customer service. And I grew up with Ray Kroc talking about customer service. But for me, my position and my point of view is actually taking it up a notch, not just service, but an experience. Because I think, first of all, we totally live in an experiential world today, and that's what people expect. But I also really believe that customer service is a transaction. It's the basic thing that someone comes to you, they pay for goods and services. There's a transfer of money for goods and services, and that's it. It's cold. It's non-emotional. There's no human element involved. What I think is that we have to transform a transaction into an interaction. And when you have that interaction, that's where you create the relationships, and relationships create connections. And I don't mean just like by who you know, but it means like a real genuine connection to another human being. And that connection equals profit. And that's why my book is entitled Transforming Transactions into Interactions. Because to me, that's the bottom line, is going beyond just the basic service, but connecting with someone and making that transformation into a real interaction. And that's going to give you lifetime value in your customers.
I'm thinking about the supermarket industry and how you go through the whole supermarket and you select things yourself, and then you go and have a transaction where you check out. So you're just the opposite.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? I've been to places in the grocery store, and you're right, for the most part, that's it. It is a transaction at that point. But if you've hired correctly, if you establish, first of all, that core value, right, of that experience and people experience, and then you pass it on to who you hire. So this is a part of my process, but everything has to be in alignment and reflect back to that core value. So if you have that, and if you've hired correctly, and then if you've trained them, if you've educated them, not just smile training, but if you've really educated them how to interact with your customers, even coming through a grocery line, it can be an experience. It doesn't have to be a cold transaction. You can actually engage. In fact, people say, how's your day going, Jill? You know, how's your Monday? How, have you done something fun today? Just something small. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's another human being across the aisle there. And you leave with a smile on your face. You leave with a smile inside feeling good. Why? Because you had that simple interaction with another human being.
You know, I did notice that the Publix in our area had little stands that you would see as you enter an aisle, and you would get to have a little cooking demonstration or tasting a strategy session to expose brands to people that they might not have tried. So I guess that's an experience generator.
It is absolutely an experience generator. And everyone loves food. They love to cook. They love ideas, ingredients. That's a great common denominator. And it, of course, makes sense in a grocery store.
And so they always say, if you share who you are and if you know me, then you'll like me. And so our goal is to get people to know us so they can like us, because then they'll buy from us.
Right. You know what? I don't know if you think this is appropriate, but you just triggered an idea as you mentioned about the grocery store and the demo stands. And I was thinking about dentistry, of course, for all your listeners. I have an idea, and tell me if you think this might work.
Share it.
You're trying to help people become aware of how to have healthy teeth and not only take care of their teeth, but live a lifestyle in a way that's taking care of their teeth, right?
Right.
So y'all could maybe set up a little table in your waiting room when you come in, because usually people sit around and look at a magazine. Well, how about instead of them sitting in a magazine all by themselves, so there's no interaction going on, after you've greeted them and you've done the right, you know, where you have created the interaction with your staff, when they're waiting, maybe you could set up a little table with foods. Of course, I'm all about food, but with foods or snacks or ideas of things that you think are healthy options for your customers to choose instead of garbage. And you could have some little information, a little stand with some information they could take with them, but they could maybe even try some of the foods. And you could kind of create your own little demo, so to speak, right there in your office. And there you've created another experience. And you've educated them along the way.
Healthy foods for a healthy body. I like it.
Yeah.
We tend to serve, lollipops and chocolate, right?
Exactly. I'll take the chocolate.
Chocolate's good for everything. Chocolate, so let's let's focus over on that dentistry question, because it's a good one. You know, in my business, we always are trying to serve the patients well, and we want to attract new patients. And I wrote a book once, Marketing the $1 Million Practice, that was number one on Amazon for 2 years. And I wrote that in 2012, and it stayed there for 2 years, and it's been in the top 20 ever since. And I put across an idea called the new patient experience, and we actually call it the experience, where we've been doing this for 25 years at our office, maybe 30 now, and we have been touring the patient through the office before we take a tour of their mouth. How interesting is that? That we don't just go in there and say open wide and start talking about their teeth. You know, that's impersonal. It's almost an intrusion into that personal space. And so we want the patient to know us and like us, trust us, before we even get into the medical realm. And so the tour is big. We like to sit in a non-treatment room, something that doesn't look like a dental office, with lots of sharp things all around, scary things. And so we'll sit in a consultation room that's very pleasant, and it has credentials on the wall. Try to create the what we call the authority position to let the patient know, you know, this is some place they can feel proud to be at, but also we're real people, and we have some family photos on the wall, and we try to draw people in to understand who we are, so that we have something in common. And I'll talk to my patients about what they like. I'm real big about finding out 10 things about them before we move into talking about teeth. 10 personal things: family, school, their job, their likes, their dislikes. Finally, I'll get into some things about, you know, why are you leaving your old practice that you used to go to? What did they do that you really didn't like? Because they're changing. When people change, there's a reason. And if I know that reason, then I can address it head on. You know, maybe inert, like something, oh, I moved to a new town. Well, I have people that drive all the way, you know, 50, 100 miles when they move. I have people that fly in from other states and other countries that move. So it's not always about the move. It's about I didn't have the relationship. And what I'd like you to do, because you're a CX expert, how do you see a dental office being able to give a wow experience to a patient to create those raving fans so that they don't want to leave us? They don't want to go out the back door and find another practice that's going to use a Groupon to make it, you know, $10 cheaper.
Well, first of all, I love everything that you just said. It's no wonder that your book has been a success for so long. And I think a lot of your concepts and a lot of your practices, what you do, makes so much sense. And I assume that you train your staff, you educate your staff to do the same thing. And so what I would advise, and a lot of things that you touched on actually are pieces within my transformation process. And, you know, the question then becomes, because your staff comes and goes, you hopefully stays longer, you have a longer retention cycle, but the next time you have to bring people in and educate them to your culture and how you want things done, you're relying on yourself to do that. And so a lot of the things that you said, even questions that you find important. So I would say systematize it, right? So put the questions that you want that are important for your people, that are important for your business, to find where that overlap and that commonality is. Because when you touched before about finding the common denominator, right? What do you have in common with that person? People connect to people who are like them. It's just human nature. And so one of the things actually that I'm really proud about with my dad is he always would look you directly in the eye when he spoke to you. And it doesn't matter how old you are. You could be 5 years old, you could be 50, you could be 85. He was right there looking at you in the eye. He would call you by your name. He truly made you feel like you were the only person in the room. And everyone who met him commented that that's the way they made him feel. He had this charisma because he genuinely took interest. And he'd ask, when he saw you again, he would ask about your children, your grandchildren. He would know names. It was crazy. I don't know how he remembered all this. But so sadly, my dad passed away almost 25 years ago. Yesterday, April 1st, with his 25-year diagnosis of cancer. And I recently reached back into Facebook to contact some of the people who have worked for him. And it just warms my heart because even to this day, they talk about that aspect of him and how it didn't matter you know, who you were, whether you were the maintenance guy or the manager or working, you know, your regular staff on the floor, he would come in and he would get in there with you and he would work with you and he would ask about you. And he really made that genuine connection. And so I think if you can create that and educate your people, systematize it, put those questions that you want. So, and then they work them into conversation. So it's natural because people feel when they're being sold or when it's fake, you know, that's a part of the education. That's part of the hiring and everything else. But I think definitely systematizing it is really important and you'll get that same effect.
Yeah. I know that if you go into a sales place that sells something and they give you the alternative choice question, you know that you're being sold.
Yeah, exactly.
But when it's natural, it works. And
because it's not a sale, it's someone. What I say is that you should be more concerned about taking care of your customers' needs, serving them from a place of service and not selling. And when you do that, they will buy and they'll buy again and again.
Because yeah, we always talk about understanding their felt need. Mm. And if we understand it, then we can deliver a service that meets the need.
Yeah. Exactly. And they will feel it. And you know, everybody quotes Maya Angelou, right? Like famous quote that people won't remember what you said, but they will remember how you made them feel. And it's so true.
And your dad left quite a legacy. You know, he started out early in the game and built an empire within his own community of, you know, believers, of people that graduated through his business as employees and became very successful in their own because they carried with them his belief in good customer service.
I think so. And it makes me feel good. And now it's for me too. I never, you know, because I've done so many things previously and to be doing this now feels so right. Because I do feel like I'm continuing his legacy. And I realize now for the first time how all of that previous work that I've done, or even just growing up in it, truly was a foundation. And it really did provide my purpose. And who knew? You know, that's what life is though, right?
Yeah. Well, tell us the number one lesson that a customer service expert would want to share with a dentist.
I think it's really about prioritizing people, putting your people first, establishing your business from the beginning as people first, from your core values, your mission statement. Create a mission statement. I wonder how many dentists actually have a mission statement. I don't know. What do you, Bill, is that something common?
All of our astute practice management consultants teach dentists to have mission statements, vision, customer service, and also culture points, which I teach. I don't know if many teach culture points, but we dig into that fairly deeply in our profession. So if they're at all a student of practice management, they'll know these things. But rank and file graduates from dental school absolutely know nothing about it. Has to be taught outside.
Interesting. Well, I love that. And so, yeah, I'm thinking even one of the things that I have in the back of my mind to do is to go speak at universities or maybe even dental schools, things of that nature. Because if you teach them right from the beginning that this is an integral part, it's as much as learning a skill about filling a cavity, then, and that's to me at the end of the day, more important because you're learning a hard skill, yes, how to do what people are coming to you for. But if you want to keep them there, you need to learn the skill and the importance of that. So it's great to hear that many do have that. And the only thing I would add to that is once you have that established and making sure that people first and is a part of your culture within that mission, and that it's not just sounds generic like anyone else, but you really make it who you are, that you live up to that brand promise, and that every decision that you make, everything you do from your hiring, from checking to see what people really believe, your training, your onboarding, your evaluation, you know, your follow-up, your call to action, all those things, that they're reflecting back to that core value that you need to always, don't just put it, make it, stick it somewhere. Maybe it's not even visual, but, or even if it is, just say, okay, that's like a nice pretty picture on the wall. No, live it and make sure maybe, you know, talk about it again in your meetings and have it really be alive and well in your business. And every decision as a business owner, as a dentist for your office, make sure that you're looking back and you're going to say, is this in alignment with what we're about, our core values, our mission statement? And if it isn't, as hard as it is, and you might be tempted to really want to do it, if it's not in alignment, you have to say no. And that's going to be the best thing, decision you ever made.
Well, you've made a good case for leadership showing up in the practice to determine the focus, the direction of the practice, the HR hiring potential that's got to be met to draw the right people in, to orientate them to the practice sufficiently to the culture points, move them up into the systems that you want to implement so that they learn the systems, training, then finally interfacing with customers, patients, to where when they finally get the time to interact with the people, then the whole bottom line is an experience, not an interaction. That's exactly what you said. And I think the 7-ingredient customer experience transformation process in your book, Transformation Process, is something everybody probably needs. So I want you to kind of give us some input where we find these things. I know you've got a gift for the folks, a checklist. So we want to have them have that. Tell us where you find that.
Sure. Thank you. So my book called Transforming Transactions into Interactions, and you can find that on Amazon. You can, or even just do an Amazon search for my name if you forget the name, Transforming Transactions into Interactions. And my website is also my name. Very simple. It's just jillraff.com. And my last name is R like Robert, A-double-F like French fry.com. And yeah, I'd love to give y'all a gift. So I've put together, it's called CX. CX is an acronym for customer experience. So a CX checklist. And you can find that at jillraff.com/CX checklist. Straightforward. I welcome any conversations. I would love to hear about your business, the work that I do. I really co-create solutions based on what's your biggest bottleneck, what's your biggest challenge in your business. And then we work together learning about your business and really making something that's unique for you and for your customers, your clients. Yeah, feel free to call at any time and let's have a discussion. I welcome that. And you can find links on my website as well for that.
Yeah, one thing I find is that if I want to grow my practice, I go outside of dentistry and what dentists are teaching dentists, because other careers have different interfaces with the public. Other professions have different focuses, and other businesses see things different than dentists. And so if you always look with the same eyes, you'll never have anything different as an outcome. And so I like to go to places, and Jill, you're a great example of going away from dentistry and into customer service from a different perspective. So you've been very valuable input-wise to our dentist, and I want to thank you for the time. It's jillraff.com/CX checklist for the free gift. And I hope you guys will take advantage of that. And Jill, I'd like to invite you back for another round. One day we'll just do another one. You've had a delight to be on the show. And I look forward to seeing you again at the New Media Summits.
Sounds great. Thank you for having me. And I would welcome anytime. I'm obsessed with customer experience. So anytime I can talk about it, and you just have so many great ideas, and I would love to add value and help to all the dentists who are listening to your show. I appreciate having me. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Jill. Good night, everybody. We'll talk to you soon on another version of The 10K Way.
Thanks for listening to the 10K A Day Dentist podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, rate, and recommend on iTunes and your other listening or viewing services. Dr. Williams asks that you like and share the podcast with a friend. And if you want more great information, visit 10kway.com and check out the show notes for more great resources. Thanks again for listening. And don't forget, get your free copy of Dr. Williams' number one best-selling ebook, The $10,000 A Day Dentist, and other surprise bonuses at 10kway.com.